Okay, we're starting the Arachayim in Parshas Hazinu. And I wanted to see in particular the Arachayim's comments on Pasuk Beis, where the Arachayim, in the course of explaining the this last song of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shiras Hazinu, tells us some very important things about Torah itself. Yarov Kamotor Likhi, Pasuk says, let my teaching come down like the rain. Tizal katalim rossi, let my words flow down like dew. What exactly does that mean? In what sense are the words of Torah that I'm sharing, or these words that I'm sharing, like the rain and like the dew? So right here, Arachayim is on page Kuf Chof Dalet, the beginning on the towards the left hand column, it's the beginning of Pasuk Beis. Pirush al derech Omram Zal im ein kemach. Ein Torah. Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, says the Arachayim, if there's no kemach, if there's no flower, there's no Torah. Now, generally speaking, that statement of Chazal is interpreted as, you know, you need money, you need parnasa, in order to be able to learn. You know, ultimately, if you're not going to be supported in some way, whether by supporting yourself or by others supporting you, if there's no kemach, you know, if there's no support, there's no material support, so you're not going to be able to engage in Torah study. If you don't, if the money's not coming from somewhere, so you're just not going to have the wherewithal to be able to learn. However, the Arachayim has a totally different spin on that famous Maimer Chazal. He says as follows, Yichavin ha-kosu b'maimer zeh, ki kemo sha-Hashem noseg motor lozun ulefarnes, kemo chen srichim heim l'lmod Torah. The Pasuk, and ultimately we'll see the Maimer Chazal and Pirkei Avos saying as follows, that just as God gives rain to provide sustenance to the world, that's what He provides for us. We in return are obligated to learn Torah. He gives us sustenance, so you know our part of the deal is that we have to learn Torah to respond to the sustenance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us. It's actually our cause of Yatif, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that my Yarov Kamotar Likhi, the general interpretation of this pasuk is, let my words come down like the rain. But the Arachayim has a different interpretation, and it really revolves on his interpretation of the prefix kof, right, which is generally meant as a kof hadimyon, like a comparison. The Arachayim seems to be understanding that the kof is meant in the sense of with. So Yarov Kamotar Likhi, as the rain comes down, so then you have an obligation to learn my Torah. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you an obligation to learn Torah, Likhi. Likhi, he understands, is not just simply the words of Hazinu, the Torah study in general. You have an obligation to study Torah in general, but only when Yarov Kamota, only when I bring down the rain, you know, then I can expect of you to learn Torah. If I don't bring down the rain, so then I don't have such a taina on you that you're not learning Torah, because it may come out in Torah. If I didn't provide the parnasa, so how can I reasonably expect you to learn Torah, says the Ribbono Shel Olam?
The play on words, Likhi is like a...
Yeah. Well, it works in Yiddish, but, you know, okay.
You need rain for the crops.
Right. U'mimot sedover atolomeg she'im lo yatifu mipiem tifei Torah, but the flip side is also true. It's a contract. God says, I'll bring down rain. And again, rain is symbolic of all sustenance, because ultimately, it's, you know, an agrarian society like they had in Eretz Yisrael, so you know, if there's no rain, there's no crops, and there's no, you know, there's no food. You know, it's symbolic of, you know, sustenance in general. I mean, from our point of view, not being farmers, rain is representative of financial in general, a paycheck, you know, coming in on a regular basis. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't expect us to learn unless He gives us parnasa. But it goes the other way also. If we don't let the drops of Torah come out of our mouths, in chepetz Hashem lo seis malta, right? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to provide the rain. He gives us rain so we can learn, but we'd better learn. If we're not going to learn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take away the rain. He's going to take away the parnasa. But who mashi peirashnu b'maymer hatana im ein kemach ein Torah. And this, says the Aruch Hayim, is ultimately what the statement means in Pirkei Avos. If there's no flour, if there's no parnasa, there's no Torah. Pirush. Im ro'iso she'en kemach, da she'en Torah. Which is the cause and which is the effect? So normally we assume that you need kemach in order to have Torah. It says the Aruch Hayim, but you could interpret the statement of Chazal differently. In ein kemach, if you see that there's no kemach, ein Torah. If you see the effect that there's no kemach, you know the cause is that there was no Torah. It goes both ways. Now, the truth is, this fits very well into the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, because the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, ein kemach in Torah, ein Torah in kemach. It goes both ways. If there's no flour, there's no Torah. If there's no Torah, there's no flour. On the surface, that's a conundrum. I mean, what do you mean? You know, which is the cause and which is the effect? So the Aruch Hayim is telling us that what Pirkei Avos is trying to emphasize over there is that there's a symbiotic relationship between Parnasa and Torah. We're given Parnasa so that we can learn Torah, right? So the Parnasa comes first before the Torah, but if we don't respond by learning Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to take away the Parnasa. He made Torah, he made Kemach in Torah. You know, it works both ways. That's what's implicit in this pasuk. Yarov kamotar likhi, let my words come down together with kamotar, together with the rain. If there's rain, there's Torah. If there's, you know, if there's not going to be Torah, so then it's not going to be rain. The tam shekina, lelimud hatar lashon say yarov. Why does the pasuk use this term yarov? Let it come down. Lidamos lemaisa hamotar shumatif. Because just as rain comes down a drip and a drop at a time, so too words of Torah often come out a drip and a drop at a time. Right? There's a comparison between the rain and the Torah itself. There's also a comparison, a relationship, rather, between the learning of Torah and the granting of the rain. So that's one level on which you can understand the process.
It sounds like it exists also. It comes in drips and drips, supposedly. And the Torah is not going to come to you just like
right,
that.
Right. A little bit at a time. A second idea. Od Yirmoz, another hint that's here in this pasuk is as follows. Ki kedar shamata min yaso tesoved miso l'ha'odom. Just as, you know, if it doesn't rain for a long time, that could be deadly. You know, a drought can bring about a person's death. Devastate entire societies. K'molchein v'niyas ha-Torah ta'arfenu. So too, removing Torah from one's life can, you know, literally ta'arfenu, can decapitate the person, can break the person's neck, like the egla arufa. Yarov kamotar likhi. Yet Torah is a wonderful thing. If you remove it, so it can kill. So, what's also striking here in the pasuk, says the Aruch Hayim, is that you have two different types of precipitation which are described, motar and tal, rain and dew, and the Torah is, the two words for Torah, for teaching that are here in the pasuk, is lekach, my teaching, and imra, my words. Why the repetition? Yarov kamotar likhi tizah katalim rossi. So here he says as follows. Keneged shvei Torahs, Torah shebiksav, the Torah shebaal peh. The pasuk is hinting at the fact that we have two Torahs. We have the written Torah, we have the oral Torah. Keneged Torah shebiksav omag likhi, shashem nesonam yodol liad moshek suva be'etzbo elokim. So the Torah shebiksav is called lekach. Lekach, at least in Hebrew, leaving aside the Yiddish, right? But lekach means that which is taken, like lokachas. So Moshe received the Torah Shebiksav directly from God's hand. That's why it's called likhi, it's called lekach, that which is received. Ice, you'll tell me, but what else you're going to get up there, Har Sinai? You got the Ten Commandments, you got the Mitzvos. Right? We don't find, at least in the Chumash, that Moshe Rabbeinu was given a Sefer Torah where the entire Torah should be accept. At least that's not the way the Chumash presents it. We know that God gives him the Aseres HaDibros written on the Luchos, the Etzba Elohim with the finger of God. So why is that? You know, what happened to the entire Torah should be accept? This, by the way, the Archaim is hinting at something which is very confusing, even for a lot of Jews, and certainly for a lot of non-Jews. What did Moshe Rabbeinu get at Har Sinai? So certainly, you know, in the Christian world, they'll tell you that he got the Ten Commandments, right? They don't have this notion that Moshe Rabbeinu got the entire Torah Shebe Ksav. Forget about the Torah Shebe Al Peh. They don't even necessarily think that he got the entire Torah Shebe Ksav up there at Har Sinai. But even you talk to Jewish people, even from people, are oftentimes confused as to what Moshe Rabbeinu got up there, because the Pesukim really talk about him receiving 10 commandments and getting the 2 tablets. You know, the Pesukim don't talk about him getting Torah Shebe Ksav in so many words. So I'm bothered by that. How do you reconcile the storyline with what we believe about Moshe Rabbeinu getting the entire Torah Shebe Ksav? So he says, don't be bothered by that. For him, Kulin, the Aseres HaDibros include everything which is written in the Sefer Torah. Now, I think what he means by this is that the 613 mitzvahs are all traced back to the Aseres HaDibros. That's an idea which is originally, I think the earliest one to state that idea is Rav Sadia Gaon. Rashi brings it in his commentary in Chumash in the end of Parshas Mishpatim. The Ramban talks about it. Again, many, many Rishonim have this idea that the Aseres HaDibros include all 613 mitzvahs. So the Aseres HaDibros are a summary of the 613 mitzvahs. So in a sense, by giving Moshe Rabbeinu the Aseres HaDibros, and that's what he actually carries down the mountain, that encapsulates, that's a microcosm of the 613 mitzvahs which the Torah Shebe Ksav. It's not to say that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't get the Torah Shebe Ksav the way we understand it as well, but why is he carrying this Aseres HaDibros? Answer, because this, you know, symbolizes, this includes all the 613
mitzvahs.
Right, it's the Sharashim of the mitzvahs. Right. Megillah, Megillah, or Basof. Right. So, what, I mean, everything he's saying is true. So, I mean, what Rashi writes in Bahar, that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Akiva's sheet, right, others, Rabbi Shmuel disagrees, but that the Klolim and the Protim and everything was given in Har Sinai, so that means that the what would eventually become the Torah Shebe Ksav was given to Moshe Rabbeinu up there in Har Sinai. And Achinami, the actual writing down of the Sefer Torah, you know, there are two opinions in the Gemara and Gittin. One opinion says, Megillah, Megillah, Nitna, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Sefer Torah as the events happened, right? So in other words, by Parshas Yisro, Bereishis and half of Shmos would have been written down already. The other opinion is that Torah Chasuma Nitna, the Torah was given in one, you know, as one package, the Torah Shebe Ksav, which presumably means that he wrote it down at the end of the 40 years. But the content was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. That's what Rashi means there at the beginning of Bahar, but that content is all included in the Aseres HaDibros. So that's Likhi. Likhi is Torah Shebe Ksav. Chneged Torah Shebe Al Peh Alma Imrasi. The word Imrasi, my words, focuses on the Torah Shebe Al Peh. Shem Dvarim Shnimsiru B'Maimer Peh Al Peh, because unlike Lekach, which was given over directly into the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu, something tangible, a Maimer is something which is verbal, it was non-tangible. Right? So the Imra, the words, refers to Torah Shebe Al Peh. So, the Kino L'Torah Shebe Ksav Motar, L'Torah Shebe Al Peh Tal. And we see also that the Torah here in this passage refers to the Torah Shebe Ksav as rain, and the Torah Shebe Al Peh as dew. Why? Fisha Torah Shebe Ksav Hu HaIkar B'Yisod Kol Dovar. Because the Torah Shebe Ksav is the root of everything we have in Torah. Everything goes back to Torah Shebe Ksav. They say that the Vilna Gaon in his last years, when he got older, he basically just learned Chumash. Now, when the Vilna Gaon learned Chumash, it wasn't like you and me learning Chumash. It wasn't like a 5-year-old learning Chumash. The Vilna Gaon opened the Chumash, and he was such a baki in Kol HaTorah Kula that he saw in Sukkim in Chumash things that, you know, hinted at Midrashim and Mishnayos and Gemaras and Zoahs. He was able to read all of that back into the Chumash. Right? The Yisod, the foundation of all of Torah, is to be found in the Chamisha Chumashi Torah. So that's like the Motar, like the rain. The rain is the main source of water which we have. The Torah Shebaal Peh, in contrast, the Torah Shebaal Peh, even though Chazal tells the Gemara in Gittin that there's more quantitatively, there is more Torah Shebaal Peh out there than there is Torah Shebiksav. A Chumash is one volume. You put it on the shelf and it's easy to take down and put back on the shelf. Torah Shebaal Peh is libraries and libraries. You know, there's no end to the amount of information that's in Torah Shebaal Peh. But nonetheless, qualitatively, all of the Torah Shebaal Peh is really secondary. It's all learned out from the Torah Shebiksav. So in that sense, the Torah Shebaal Peh is like the Tau, is like the Dew. The Dew is a secondary source of water, of precipitation. It certainly doesn't take the place of the rain. It augments the rain. It supplements the rain. You have the rain, and then, you know, as a kind of a little extra, you know, water which is found on the grass in the morning, you also have the dew. The Torah Shebaal Peh, without being anchored in the Torah Shebiksav, doesn't have any independent existence. The Torah Shebaal Peh can only exist related back to the Torah Shebiksav. It's like the relationship between the dew and the rain. Torah Shebaal Peh, heim tikunim v'dikdukim, it's all nuances and close readings, she'eno meforashim bo ela nirmosim, they're just hinted at in the Torah Shebiksav. V'hu inin shalokach hakosu b'dinyonu shedima Torah Shebiksav l'motor shiyosod v'ikra akol, v'Torah Shebaal Peh l'tal shetikun v'amotor ma she'osa amotor. K'mo shi Torah Shebaal Peh l'Torah Shebiksav. Just as the dew just sustains the rain, you know, the dew is the finishing touches on the rain. It's a little bit of, you know, it does a little bit of what the rain does. You know, the rain is really the ikkar, the main thing. So too, the Torah Shebiksav is the ikkar, it's the main thing. The Torah Shebaal Peh is subsidiary, is a refinement of that. So that's Yarov Kamotar Likhi, Kifal Katalim Rossi. But he takes it one step further. That's an interesting approach in its own right to, you know, to compare the two different Torahs to these two different types of precipitation. But it takes it one step further. Od Yirtze, Al Derech Omrom Anshei Emes, Ki Nitzes Esek HaTorah Shebiksav Eino Elo Bayom Volo Velayla. There's a Kabbalistic concept which is followed much more in the Hasidic world, the Sephardic world, than it is in the Litvish Ashkenazi world. But, you know, it goes back to the Arizal, and as he mentions in the parentheses, the Ber Heitev quotes it in his commentary to Or HaChaim. The notion that Torah Shebiksav should only be learned during the day, but Torah Shebaal Peh can be learned at night as well. Right, that's even, we have these different minhagim at this time of year, right? So we Ashkenazim, we're saying with David Hashem Ori after Ma'ariv. Right, the minhag of Chassidim, the minhag of those who don't listen to Sfaradim, to say it after Mincha. Why after Mincha? Because after Ma'ariv it's already a dark. You shouldn't be saying extra kapitlach tehillim at dark. You're not supposed to say tehillim at dark. You know, after dark, it's Torah Shebiksav. It should only be restricted for daytime recitation, not to be said at night. That's why the David is said dark after Mincha, as opposed to saying it after Ma'ariv. The Sachashkenaz, we say it after Ma'ariv because we're not so bothered by this. Okay.
It's also like some Hesron only meant during the daytime.
Okay. So there's a special halacha in Din that Din has to take place during the day. Right? But there's a Kabbalah. So that's halacha. Right? So, but Kabbalistically, there's the notion that Torah Shebiksav should be restricted for the daytime learning, right? As opposed to Torah Shebaal Peh, which can be learned at night as well. Now, there may be a very simple, not super Kabbalistic explanation for this. Again, Torah Shebiksav uses a text, right? Texts are harder to learn when there's no light, right? Now you may say, okay, now we have artificial light, so, you know, we can learn a Torah Shebiksav at night. We're having a Parsha Shir, and it's at night. Okay, but, you know, in its origins, where, you know, you don't have so much artificial light. You know, people are basically relying on natural light to be able to read and to see. So the time to study a text is during the day. If you're going to try to study a text at night, so you're very likely to distort the text. You won't see it properly. You'll read this. You'll rely on your memory. So Torah Shabbat Sabbath is restricted to the daytime hours. Torah Shabbat Ben can be learned during the day or at night as well, because it doesn't rely on a text. It doesn't rely on you seeing anything. It's entirely a question of memory. So memory is something you can employ, you know, regardless of the time of day. Anyway, so I'll pick up. I'm sorry? Well, Krishma, you're always about to say, but that's the Rabbi Yonah point. Yet the Rabbi Yonah points out in the beginning of Brachos that even though Kriya Shema is Torah Shebiksav, it's not subject to the restriction of Dvarim Shebiksav, Yatara Shoyla Omer Balpeh, because everyone knows Kriya Shema so well. So even though it's a part of the written Torah, you can say it, you know, without any problems. You know, you can say it Balpeh. It is Limud HaTorah, but it's an exception to the rule. Since it's an exception to the rule, Torah Shabbat.
And then you go to the Krishna.
Right.
But it's not Torah Shabbat.
Right, but Shnantam Levonach V'Dibaytavah. Right. The V'Dibaytavah. In other words, that which you say
is the Torah is referring to
Torah Shabbat.
That's what it's referring to.
Again, I think that's what the Arizal would say, that the debatable is, you know, what you talk about is b'shiftuchah b'vaysechah b'lechuchah b'darach b'shachuchah b'kumecha. Right? Right. So, okay, but in any case, so, you have this distinction between Torah Shabbat Sam and Torah Shabbat Ben. V'chein omer b'braisa, so too we have a braisa, medrash denilin, sh'moshe v'osam mem yom, sh'hoye etzel Hashem. During the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was up on the mountain learning Torah, how did he know when was day and when was night? He was enveloped in the cloud, right? How did he know? Why did he have to know when it was day and night? Okay, whatever, you know, he had to know when it was day and night. How did he know? May Alimut Shahoy Hashem Melamdo, right? He was able to tell whether it was day or night based on the type of limud that Hashem was teaching him. Kishahoy Melamdo Mishnah, when he was learning Torah Shabbat Peh. He knew that it was night, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu only taught him Torah Shabbat Sav during the day, and only taught him Torah Shabbat Peh at night. Right? Okay, there's a Kabbalistic reason for this idea that Torah Shabbat Sav should only be studied during the day, and not at night. What does that got to do with our Pasuk? So he says beautifully as follows, Lozek Kino Torah Shabbat Sav L'mata. That's why in our Pasuk, Torah Shabbat Sav is referred to as rain. Yarot kamlot or likhi. Because rain is seasonal. She'en ol tomid elu bimos ha-geshomim, avalo bimos ha-chama. Again, especially in Eretz Yisrael, we're learning tainus between Mincha and Meiriv. We know that in Eretz Yisrael, there's a rainy season and there's a non-rainy season. It rains from Sukkot to Pesach, and it doesn't rain at all from Pesach to Sukkot. It's very, very unusual for it to rain between Pesach and Sukkot. So just as rain is seasonal, and it's not always the right time for rain, at least in Eretz Yisrael, so too, Torah Shabbat Sav is seasonal, right? You only learn Torah Shabbat Sav during the day, not at night. We'll get there eventually in the Sifta Tainus, right? Where Rava tries to bring down rain at the wrong time, and it doesn't go so well. So too, Torah Shabbat Sav has to be during the day in the proper time. The Dima Torah Shabbat Peh with Tal. On the other hand, Torah Shabbat Peh is like Tal, is like Du. Kemosha Talo Mafsik Kayitz Vachorev Yom Balaila. We know that Tal, the Gemara tells us in Tainis, there's never a season for Tal, there's never a season for Du. Du is constant throughout the year, even during the summer. That's why those who daven Nusaf Sad say Morin HaTal during the summer, because just as it's appropriate for the Tal to come down during the winter, it's equally appropriate and germane for the Tal to come down during the summer. So too, there's no wrong time for Torah Shabbat Alper. Right? It's just like the Tal, that it's not seasonal. You know, every time is a good time to learn Torah Shabbalka.
Well, even in Israel, they say part of that Torah.
Yeah, no. Because in Eretz Yisrael, even the Ashkenazim davened the Nusach HaGros. The Gros was known as the same Ori at all. So, side the Ashkenazim, side the Sfaradim, side the Chassidim, you know, everybody, you know, every Nusach in Eretz Yisrael says Ori at all. That's a, you know, the Vilna Gaon, the Chassidim, and the Sfaradim end up having a lot of the same in Hok. It's only the.
What do you mean by any time that there's an Ori at all?
No, it doesn't have to be at night. It can be at night.
It can be at night,
but it can also be during the day. So in other words, you know, the restrictions, you know, you can give a Gemara Shir during the day also. So there are no restrictions on when Torah Shabbal Peh can be learned, as opposed to Torah Shabbal Ksav, which again, Kabbalistically, is supposed to be only learned during the day, not at night. So that Kabbalistic distinction, says the Ar HaChaim, between Torah Shabbal Ksav and Torah Shabbal Peh, is hinted at in this very pasuk in the beginning of Ha'azino, which distinguishes between the lekach, the Torah Shebiksav, which is like matar, which is like rain, and the imra, you know, the statement, the Torah Shebal Peh, which is like tau, which is like dew. There's never an off season for Torah Shebal Peh. That's the lesson of the pasuk. Starting at the beginning of the parasha, I want to share a quick thought from the end of the parasha. Very end of the parasha, paragraph and base, positive and base, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reiterates to Moshe Rabbeinu that which is told him a few times already. Go up to the top of the mountain, to Har Nebo, look over at the land at Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to die here. You're not going to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the pasuk ends off, the parasha ends off, Ki Mineget Tiras HaOretz, you'll see the land from afar. Yishama Lo Sofo, but you won't go in there. El ha'aretz asher ani nosein l'bnei Yisrael. Into the land which I'm giving to Bnei Yisrael. So the Arachayim writes on that pasuk. It's the very last Arachayim in the Sedra. It's the bottom of page Kuf Lamed Hei. Yishama lo sovo el ha'aretz kosha. Achar she'omar yishama lo sovo ma malkum lachzor v'lomar el ha'aretz. That whole last phrase seems to be extraneous. Yishama lo sovo, you won't go in there. Where? We know, I mean, if you haven't figured out right now that Moshe Rabbeinu, the place that Moshe Rabbeinu is not going into is Eretz Yisrael, you really haven't been paying attention to the Pesukim at all. And the truth is, the Pesuk itself, the first half of the Pesuk spells it out. Ki mineged tiras ha'aretz, v'shama lo sovo, you'll see the land from afar, but you won't go there. The whole last phrase, el ha'aretz asher ani nosein l'bnei Yisrael, to the land which I'm giving to Bnei Yisrael, it's an extraneous phrase, it really doesn't add anything. So explains the Arachayim, he's far al derech Omram Zal. So you can explain it based on what Chazal tell us in Dvar Rambo. She'osid Moshe, likones la'oretz ima avos la'osid lo'ovo. Chazal tell us that although Moshe Rabbeinu was denied the opportunity to go to Eretz Yisrael now, in the future, la'osid lo'ovo, Olam Haba, when Mashiach comes, the avos are going to be brought back into Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu will finally, be granted the opportunity to go into Eretz Yisrael.
It wasn't that the terrorists, it was seemed like the Rambam was teasing them.
Right, so there's a lot to talk about why he's putting him in the lake, telling him to watch the lamb. Right, but that, for another time. For Amr Bazoran, ki hu yobiyas Yisrael el ha'aretz kevo gulosam. The Zohar says explicitly, when the Gula comes, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be resurrected, is going to come back, and bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. He'll finally get his wish. He'll be able to be the leader of Klal Yisrael at that time. So with that in mind, when Hashem says in our parasha, "B'shama lo sava," that you won't go into that land, but as Baruch Hu said, I don't want to give Moshe Rabbeinu the mistaken impression that he'll never go into the land. I mean to say that right now you won't go into the land, but eventually you will. So was there Orar El Ha'aretz Asher Ani Nosein? So that's what that final phrase means. You won't come into the land which I am giving now to Bnei Yisrael. Pirush Ata. Now you won't go into that land which I am currently giving to these Bnei Yisrael who are part of this generation. V'lo El Asher Yitein Glossi. But in the future, you will be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. So the pasuk, you know, which we would think is a downer, you know, the pasuk which we would think ends on a somewhat sour note, describing how Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael, actually ends on a note of hope. Right now, you won't be able to go into the land. But Lo'as in Lavo, in the future, when the Geula comes, you'll finally get your wish, Moshe Rabbeinu, and you'll be able to lead the Jewish people of that generation back into Eretz Yisrael.
Does it mean that everybody will go into Eretz Yisrael?
I think so. It's, you know, Limos HaMoshiach. You know, so everyone's going to come. Now, this may, Derech Agav, the Aruch Hashem doesn't ask the kasha, but it may answer another question as well.
Also tell them everything that was going to happen in
the future. Right, he tells them the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, this may answer another question as well. We know that as a general rule, we're not supposed to be Messiah the Dover Ra. Whenever we lay, we're not even supposed to end off an Aliyah on a sour note, on a bad note. And here, we're ending off the entire Parshas Hazinu. You know, the last Seder, which we're going to read on a Shabbos, you know, the Zos HaBracha, we read on Simchas Torah. So the last Seder we're going to read on a Shabbos ends on a very depressing note. You're going to die, you Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to die here in Chutz La'aretz, and you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Adkan. How can we end on such a sour note? How can we end on such a difficult note? According to the Aruch Hayim, Lav Davka, we're ending on such a sour note. The Moshe Rabbeinu is being told, you won't go in now, but when the day comes, you ultimately will go in. And, you know, the Seder ends off with a note of promise that even though things look dark now for Moshe Rabbeinu, just hang in there. Ultimately, when the final Geula comes, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be entitled and enabled to go into Eretz Yisrael at that time as well.
Right at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, just right at the end of the tunnel. No, the Shama Lo Sovo, but Kama. Right, but you're not going to come now to the land which I'm giving to Bnei Yisrael. Right. So you could read it that way, but then you have the kasha. Right. Then you have the kasha. That whole last phrase is just extraneous. El Haaretz Asher Anosu Bnei Yisrael. You know. So what does that add? So the Aruch Hayim says that phrase is meant to take a little bit of the bite out of it. V'shama lo savo now to the land which I'm giving them, but eventually you will be able to go in and you will be able to, you know, to have that that connection to Eretz Yisrael. I want to wish everyone a good kvittel. Should be a beautiful yontif beretz Hashem for everyone. And we will pick up Simchas Torah is Tuesday. Not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. That Wednesday night, you know, the following night, there's a session, you know, Mosoi Yisruchak. We'll pick up
Wednesday night
following Simchas Torah. I think Simchas Torah is the 9th. Right, so I think the 10th, Be'ez Hashem, we will pick up. And God willing, we will, I think we'll start the Hamikdavar, unless there are very strenuous objections between now and then. Okay, wish everybody a good Yom Tov, and we'll see you then.
Thank you.